So as I said, this is the second part of the message, the end of the world, really. And the reason that we're preaching this message is because of the scare that's going on out there, the people who are, don't know the truth about what the Bible says of how the world will come to an end. They are panicking, and they are protesting, and we want to be able to share the truth with them, what the Word of God says, how this world will come to an end. It's very clear. We have a lot more than 10 or 12 years left before the world comes to an end, according to what the Word of God says. So this is the second part of the message that deals with the subject of global warming and climate change, which many in the media and political world are talking about and declaring that it's an existential threat to our world. The fake news and these political leaders have been sounding the doomsday alarm about climate control and climate change, and using it to put those who don't know the truth that's revealed in God's Word into a state of panic and fear. Because of the lies of the media, many lost and desperate people think that the answer to all their problems and the problems of this world, especially this issue of climate control, is going to come about and be solved through the wisdom and works of human beings. What they don't realize is that by putting their hope in mankind, they're literally being led as lambs to the slaughter by the devil. Therefore, the purpose of this message is to equip us to share the truth from God's prophetic word concerning his end time plan with them, and not allow the devil, who only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to succeed by taking them to the lake of fire with him and the other fallen angels who followed him. Last week, the verse, the chapter that we looked at is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 15, where Peter told us this. It will be God who decides when it's time for this current heaven and earth to come to an end. Here are a few verses from 2 Peter chapter 3. But remember, God is love, and he has no wish that any man should be destroyed. He wishes that all men should repent and come to the saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yet it remains true that the day of the Lord will come as suddenly and unexpectedly as a thief. In that day, the heavens will disappear in a terrific tearing blast. The very elements will disintegrate in heat, and the earth and all that is in it will be burnt up to nothing. True, this day will mean that the heavens will disappear in fire and the elements disintegrate in fearful heat. But our hopes are set not on these, but on the new heaven and the new earth, which he has promised to us, in which nothing but good shall live, where we are his people, and God himself will be with us and be our God. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he will declare from his throne, "Behold, I make all things new for you, my beloved children." So we can see from Peter, what first or Second Peter shared with us last week. Not only does God know when this earth will end, but he has an awesome plan to rescue every single individual from death and destruction, and take them into a new heaven and a new earth for all of eternity. Listen, it's a message we've got to share with the people. You've got to learn to share this with people. It's great to talk about healing. It's great to pray for them to get them healed. It's great to pray for all those things. But those people out there that the media and the enemy has shaking in their boots, literally fearing death and the end of this world, they need to hear this message. They need to hear the truth. And it's all clearly, so clearly and simply laid out for us in God's word of what to share with them. And it's a very simple message to share with them. And it's also a great message to use to bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ, to lead them to Christ. So the question is, how much time do we have left before the day of the Lord begins? And what will happen in heaven and on earth during that time? The day of the Lord is what is mentioned in Isaiah, the day of the Lord's vengeance, the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord starts right here at the rapture and goes all the way through until the great white throne judgment until this earth burns up and we go into a new heaven and new earth. That's the day of the Lord. All right. So that the day of the Lord includes everything that you see on that right there, on that chart right there. So the event that starts the day of the Lord, as you can see, is what? The rapture. When God takes the church out of here. When God removes all restraining forces that up to this point, not only will he take the church out, but some people believe that he'll remove the Holy Spirit and from most parts of the earth. So God removes all restraining forces that up until this point had held back Satan and the powers of darkness from moving forward with their plan to deceive the people of earth. Why? To worship him as God, which is what he has always wanted. Well, he's going to get an opportunity to set up a kingdom. The false prophet, the beast, and the devil are going to get, he's going to get that opportunity to mislead people. They're all going to think that he's their savior, their hero, the Antichrist. He's going to save the world. He's going to bring peace. That's going to be the deception that comes in. Some scriptures that talk about the rapture, of course, we know is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the people who have died and were in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive at that time will be gathered up with those who have died. We'll be taken up into the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. For those that don't know, this is called the rapture. This is when the day of the Lord will begin. It's going to be an incredible day. I mean, just imagine, there's like a billion Christians on the earth. A billion people just all of a sudden are gone. All right? That is going to cause some mass hysteria on earth. And they're going to come up with all different kinds of lies. The devil will use all different types of lies to deceive people. Well, aliens, the main one that people believe is he's going to say they were all snatched by aliens. They all left this planet and went to another planet, you know. And that's what they're going to tell them. So the enemy's going to feed them all kinds of lies to try to cover himself up. Another verse says, and I think this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know very well that the day of the Lord comes again will be a surprise. Remember, it's going to happen. No one knows the exact time the rapture is going to happen. The Bible constantly tells us that that day will come like a thief comes in the night. But the main thing is that for those who are in Christ, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it says God did not choose us to suffer his anger or his wrath and judgment, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, also is another scripture that talks about the rapture. Listen to this secret truth. We shall not all die, but when that last trumpet sounds, we shall all be changed in an instant. This is only going to take an instant, the twinkling of an eye, a split second. All those people will be gone. 1 billion people, gone, just like that. Only going to take an instant, as quickly as the blinking of an eye. For when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised, never to die again, and we shall all be changed. So basically, these two scriptures tell us about the rapture, when God is going to take the church, what we know as the church age, the church era, the age of grace, where he's allowing people still to come into the kingdom of God, to still hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that will be over during this time. And when that happens, all those who have died already, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and all those who are still alive on the earth who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they all will literally take off and be raptured into the air. They will go up into the air. Those ones that are dead will come out of the graves, and those who are alive will go up together, and will go up together in the air and meet Jesus in the air. Now, that's the rapture. That's not the second coming of Jesus. They're two different events. Okay? So we want to look at the tribulation period. And we're going to do this a little different. We're not going to go through Revelation. We're going to look at a little bit of Revelation, the book of Revelation, on a chart that I have. But we're going to stay in the chapter Matthew 24. We're going to look at what Jesus said about the tribulation period. Now, when we look at this chapter, a lot of times we'll say that Jesus is talking about the things that are going on this earth right now. He mentions a lot of them. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famines, earthquakes, tidal waves, all those things. And those things do happen, and they have been happening throughout the centuries, throughout the whole history of the earth. But what Jesus is talking about here is the tribulation. Once the tribulation starts, he starts talking about all these judgments that will come out. So we're going to compare what Jesus says in Matthew 24 compared to all the different judgments in Revelation, okay? So you'll see what Jesus is talking about here really lines up with the book of Revelation, with first the seals being broken, then the trumpets, and then the bowls of God's wrath. Jesus lists all of them right here in Matthew 24. So Jesus really is talking about the tribulation and the great tribulation period. Hey, how you doing? So that's what we want to look at today. So what happens is we have the rapture that takes place. All believers, those who have died before that are buried, and those who are still alive on earth get taken up into heaven. Then we have the judgment seat. Many believe that at that point, all the believers who go up into heaven will go to the judgment seat of Christ, and the judgment is only for our works that we've done. So all believers will stand, in case you didn't know this, all believers will stand before God and be judged for the works that we have done on this earth. We'll be given rewards at that time on earth. It's a very important thing to remember, so you stay focused and do the best and run the best race that you possibly can. It's very important to remember that. Amen? Then, once the rapture happens, some point right during that, simultaneously, or a little bit after that, the tribulation will start, which is 7 years, literally, of hell breaking loose on earth. All right? So we can see that we have a lot more than 10 or 12 years that, like, the media and all those are proclaiming out there. So the tribulation, we want to look at the tribulation, 7 years of distress on earth when the Antichrist rises to power. And then we'll have the millennium, which is a 1,000 years. So let me just explain this now before we look at Revelation. Remember, they're saying we may only have 10 or 12 years for the earth, for us to exist on earth, that the whole population and the existence of human beings could be wiped out in 10 to 12 years. Well, first of all, remember, we still have the rapture. According to God's word, you have to decide who you're going to believe. You're going to believe God's word, or you're going to believe man, first of all. Well, we believe God's word. So God's word tells us first, the rapture, before anything starts to happen, the rapture has to take place. That's the first thing. Then we'll, you know, those of us who go to heaven and meet Jesus in the air, we'll get our rewards and in heaven. And then the tribulation period will start. Well, that's 7 years. 7 years of distress, trials, tribulation, judgment of God being poured out, the wrath of God being poured out, the devil just pouring out evil and wickedness and doing wicked things on the earth. I mean, anything that has happened on the earth up until this point will pale in comparison to what's going to take place during these 7 years. Okay, you do not want to be here for these 7 years. So the seven, but then after that, listen to this. This is very important. How many of you know what the millennium is? That's the thousand, the millennium is 1,000 years. That's the thousand, Jesus will literally come back to earth. He will set his feet on this earth, okay? And he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. So listen, if the rapture were to occur today, we still would have 1,007 years before we would get to this point right here, the great white throne judgment, and before this earth and heaven would disappear. Okay, so we got plenty of time left. We've got more. Like I said, if a rapture occurred today, we'd still have 1,007 years. And this is very important because, listen, Jesus came the first time as the little lamb, sacrificial lamb, to be slain for our sins, to pay the price for our sins. But God's plan is much bigger than that. Jesus will come back again. We'll come back with him. And after he destroys the armies in the Great Tribulation, when it talks about the wars and the Battle of Armageddon and all that stuff, once he does that, he's going to set his feet on this earth and he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That is his plan. When we pray the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that prayer is going to literally be fulfilled right there during those 1,000 years. His kingdom now is here. How? In us, in each of us. But he, listen, this was a big part of God's plan. Jesus will be exalted. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years. And it's going to be awesome. I could go into a lot of the details of it, but I'll give you some websites to check out so you can check this out. During that 1,000 years, you're going to have people who are living in mortal bodies and us who have received our immortal bodies living together. Mortals and immortals living together. Just a little side note to throw out there for you. But anyhow, we want to look at Matthew 24 and see what Jesus says about the tribulation. So verses 3 through 14 talk about the first half of the tribulation. As you know, the tribulation period is broken up into, it's 7 years, but they said there would be the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will establish peace. He'll promise peace to Israel. He'll let Israel build their temple again, let them worship God, and then he'll make a covenant with them and with the whole world. So the whole world will think that we're having peace. And then after that, three and a half years, halfway into the tribulation, he will break that covenant with them and go in and destroy their temple, set himself up in the temple. It's called the abomination of desolation, where he'll do wicked things right in the temple of God. And then from that last 3.5 years is not just called the tribulation, it's called the great tribulation. Jesus calls it the great tribulation. So let's look at the next slide. So that's really hard to read. I thought it would be easier. But anyhow, let's read verses 3 through 14 of Matthew 24. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" And listen to the questions they ask. "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age," or the end of the world? All right? So Jesus answers them, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." So there's the first thing, the Antichrist comes. The false Messiah comes, okay, deceives many. Many follow. "For many will come in my name, and I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." So look at what it says in this chart right here. So we know in the book of Revelation, it tells us through chapters 1 through 5, John's in heaven and Jesus is talking to him about the churches and everything. And then in chapter 5, John sees the Lamb of God that was in the line of God. And he says, and then there's this big scroll with these seals. But John doesn't see anybody to open those seals. And he cries out, "Who can open those seals? Who is worthy to open the seals?" And then he sees Jesus. And Jesus comes and starts opening these seals. So the first seal that he opens is the horse. There's the white horse, which is deception. That's the Antichrist. The false Messiah comes and makes a covenant with Israel and makes a promise to Israel to have peace. Well, then, even though he does that, war breaks out. The red horse. Then the third seal is the black horse. Because of all the wars, that many believe that many of those will involve nuclear bombs going off. Because of that, there's going to be famine in the world like never before. And these are just that's just up to the third seal. Okay, the fourth seal brings pestilence, and it says a quarter of all mankind dies on the earth. Now look, this, what Jesus, remember, in this chapter, Jesus is just answering the disciples' question. But he's telling them everything that's going to happen. Then in this book here, in the book of Revelation, he's talking to the Apostle John. So Jesus answers their questions in Matthew 24, right? But now he's downloading to John a visual. Jesus is revealing all this to John. This is exactly what's going to happen. Write it all down. So this is Jesus saying, look, this is exactly how the end of the world is going to happen. So we're up to the fifth seal, then martyrdom in the Great Tribulation. Then the sixth seal is heavenly signs. And the seventh seal is the seventh trumpet. Those are called the trumpet. The seventh seal announces the trumpet judgments that are coming. So then you go into the trumpet judgments. And it says, green grass and one-third of the trees are burned up. So that's we've seen the fire in Australia, the damage it did. Well, that's nothing compared to what will happen during this judgment, the trumpet judgment. The second trumpet, a third of the sea becomes blood, a third of all ships and sea life is destroyed. The third trumpet, all the fresh water streams and ponds turn bitter. One-third of them are gone. They're wiped out. You can't drink them anymore. Fourth trumpet, a third of the sun and moons and stars won't shine anymore. The fifth trumpet, locusts wield the beast's military army. Those locusts, if you ever read a description of them, they're these horrific demons. They have a horse's body, a man's head, women's hair. They have stingers on them, and they're stinging people so bad that people want to commit suicide, but it actually says they won't be able to commit suicide during that time because death won't be available to them right then. That's pretty wild, right? But that's true. This is what will happen during this seven-year period called the tribulation. Then you have the sixth trumpet, 2 million man army and a third of mankind are killed. Seventh, the kingdom of God is declared. And then we'll get into the seven bowls here. Let's continue on with Matthew 24, the Great Tribulation. So that was the first 3.5 years. This is the next 3.5 years. Matthew 24, starting in verse 15, Jesus tells them what's going to happen. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And I pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation. So Jesus uses the word great tribulation here in this next 3.5 years. Such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. And listen to what Jesus says. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So in those last... The first 3.5 years were pretty bad. There were some pretty bad judgments. But in the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the judgments that will come upon the earth then are going to be 1,000 times worse than what's already come upon them. It's going to be so bad that Jesus says, unless he comes back and shortens what happens during these seven bowls, that literally their existence would cease, that everybody would... All the human race would be totally wiped out and there would be nobody left on earth if he doesn't come back to stop this, he says. So during the seven bowls of God's wrath that are poured out, it says, sores afflict those who accepted the mark of the beast. The second one, the sea turns to blood. All creatures die. All the creatures in the sea die. Rivers turn to blood. The third one. Fourth one, mankind scorched by the sun and they blaspheme God. The sun will be so hot and scorching that it's literally causing blisters and burning people. And they'll be, they'll, They won't repent. They won't ask God to forgive them. Instead, they still just keep cursing at God and blaspheming God and saying bad things about him. Fifth, the beast seat of judgment is afflicted. Sixth, the Euphrates River is dried up and the world's armies gather to Armageddon. Seventh, the earth is utterly shaken. So that is what Jesus said would happen. Listen to the rest of it. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, don't go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man will be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light. The seventh one right here. Jesus is talking about it. Immediately after the tribulation, those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. When that happens, people say that, you know, planets will be unaligned from their orbit. It will cause such destruction upon the earth, so many earthquakes, oceans and tsunamis. Lakes will literally upheave. Rivers will be totally changed their course. So the devastation and the loss of life and the things that are happening on earth are just unbelievable. But keep in mind that during this whole time, the two witnesses have already come from God. They have anointed 144,000 male Jewish men to preach the gospel and evangelize the whole world. So during this time, there are still people being saved, especially Jewish people. But people say that even though all that's going taking place, during this time it will be the greatest harvest and the greatest revival on earth that there has ever been in history. So you have those two things going on at the same time. The greatest judgment, wrath and judgment, but also the greatest revival and the greatest preachers and the greatest anointings. And listen, this whole time also will be supernatural. The devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist will be doing supernatural things that have never been done. You want to talk about signs and wonders? There will be signs and wonders that will make things that we have seen pale in comparison. But also the evangelists will be going out and saving souls and doing great things. So there's a lot going on here, okay? And I'm just sharing this so that people know this all has to take place before the end comes, all right? So that's only the first 7 years after the church is taken out of here. During that time, that's a great question. During that time, through the 7 years, many scholars believe that we will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're in heaven with Christ, the bride of Christ, and he is just ministering to us and loving us, and we're getting to know him. And we're at the marriage feast of the bride and of the Lamb. And look, when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period is the Battle of Armageddon. Once that seventh bowl is poured out, Jesus comes back. Guess who comes back with him? It says we all come back with him. And when he comes back, he'll destroy the armies that are gathered at Armageddon right there. And then he will set up his new heaven. Or he will set up his new heaven and new earth. He will set up his millennial kingdom during that time. All right? So there still is another 1,000 years that Jesus will set up his kingdom. Then once that 1,000 years is over, okay, remember, we're trying to figure out when the earth is going to be destroyed and when existence will end on this earth as we know it. All right? So we go through it won't happen until after the 1,000 years on earth, after Jesus has set up his kingdom. After that 1,000 years comes the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment of every unsaved person. Every person who ever rejected what Jesus did for them, whoever rejected the gospel, whoever rejected God's gift of salvation, his plan of salvation, they rejected God. all unsaved people, everyone who never got into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, will go to this great white throne judgment. They'll be judged for all their evil deeds, all their evil works, and they will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. Okay? And it says that they will be tormented forever and ever. So here's what happens. Whether people like it or not, we're all immortal beings. Good thing for us is we're immortally saved human beings who get brand new heavenly bodies that will never feel pain, never get sick again. It'll be just like Jesus' body, and we'll be in a new heaven and new earth with him. Unsaved people still get their bodies back. They're still immortal beings, their soul, their spirit, who they are. They'll get bodies, but their bodies will still be able to feel torment and pain and all of that. And they'll be in that for all of eternity. But remember, God never really intended for humans to be there. He has made an incredible way. He loves everybody so much. He came down here to die for us himself on a cross, shed his blood for us himself so that we could have our sins forgiven. And if we would believe that he did that and that he was buried and rose again on the third day, then he would save us from all of this and give us brand new heavenly bodies. But it's at this point, after the great white throne judgment, it says that this heaven and earth as we know it will vanish and go away. And then, unfortunately, the people who have not accepted Jesus Christ and who have rejected God's plan of salvation will all be cast into the lake of fire. And those who have believed in Jesus, who are in Christ Jesus, will be in the new heaven and new earth. And there we will spend eternity with God, in the presence of God, forever and ever and ever. And look, there'll be no more sorrow, no more wars, no more pain. There won't be any of this stuff anymore. So it's an incredible hope that we have. And it's an incredible hope that we can share with others, especially those. Remember, the purpose of this message is to give us hope and give us peace and let us know exactly what's going to happen and where we're going, which most of us already know. But the main thing is try to learn this and summarize what the Bible says about the end times so that when you come across younger people who are in fear and panic because they think that they only have 10 years to live and they're going to cease to exist because of our climate change and global warming. Listen, that's a great opportunity. You can sit down and share this with them and lead them to Christ even by sharing this with them. But we can give them hope. Right now, they have no hope at all. People that don't know this, they have no hope at all. Like I said, what's their hope in? Their hope is in the wisdom of human beings and mankind. They think that mankind is going to save them. So this is an incredible truth to share with them. So I just wanted to take time, and I believe it's important for us to be equipped to do stuff like this. Since we are in the end times, we need to be able to explain the end times to people, right? It's so important. I know a lot of people kind of steer away from it. They don't study it. They just want to study all the other things in the Word of God, but it's really important. Jesus would not have given us this revelation if he didn't want us to take this revelation and share it with other people. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, we love you and praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for the incredible truth that's laid out in your word. We thank you first and foremost for saving us, delivering us, healing us, setting us free, putting your Holy Spirit in us, giving us a new life, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. But that's not it, Lord. And we thank you that this earth, thank God that this earth and this life on this earth is not all that there is for us. Amen? Even though we would love you and praise you anyhow, but you have such an incredible plan for your people. You have such an incredible plan for all those who will humble themselves and come before you and cry out for you to save them. And that's what we want, Lord. That's what we want. We want to be able to share this with those that don't know you, Lord, so that they can get saved. So as you can see, the world as we know it will be around for at least another 1,000 years. That's if the rapture were to occur today. So let's use these prophecies and warn them and comfort our friends and family. Global warming is not how this world will end. Most of all, let them know that they can be saved from the tribulation that is about to come on this earth and eternal torment in the lake of fire by repenting of their sins, confessing with their mouths that Jesus is Lord, and believing in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Because when we believe Jesus deep in our hearts, we're made right with God. And when we openly say that we believe in him, then we're saved. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. This includes everyone who believes in Jesus. God is the same Lord of all who richly blesses all who call to him. As the scriptures say, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no other way to be saved from this except by teaching people to call upon the name of the Lord and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And may we get the opportunity to do that like never before, Lord. There's so much happening in our world. There's so much panic and fear. There are people that have no hope, Lord, even with this virus, the coronavirus that's going around. Let us share the answer with them. Let us give them the hope of salvation. Let us give them the hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal life with you in a new heaven and new earth where they'll never have to worry about any of these things again. And not only that, but you give them the strength to get through whatever they have to go through here on earth. You'll do it with them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to take communion. But before we do that, let's sing one more song real quick. Kind of a communion song. Well,